We've all been there. Well, mostly. Some maybe not have. Some maybe been grew up in a good godly family that you didn't use that the language around your parents. Notice I said around your parents. Praise the Lord. But anyway, the word for that is keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, when those thoughts and things come, you capture those thoughts. You capture those thoughts. You know what I mean? And we don't dwell on those things. And as we draw closer and closer to Jesus, he draws closer and closer to us. And we put on that full armor of God every day. We have to keep it on every day because the enemy is at us. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy our faith, our walk with God, and the righteousness of God in our lives. Amen? All right. I want to thank our distinguished member for asking that question because that really blessed me. So thank you, distinguished member. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew 11, Matthew 11, verse 28 through 20, through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And you already know this verse, most of you. You know this verse. I love to hear them pages flip. That's music to my ears. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When you get to say amen. A couple more amens. Come unto me. Come unto me. Who is this saying that? It's Jesus. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. How many of here, us who have been laboring in different things in our life? How many of us in here who are heavy laden? Who got things in our lives that's weighing on us? I think we all, if we're not in it now, we have been. Or if you haven't been, you will be. There's three type of people in this room. Three, only three. Those who are been in a trial, those who are in a trial, and those who are about to go into another trial and just don't know it yet. We all go through it. As long as you're living, we're going to be going through these things. But the key to it with us, we don't go through it by ourselves. Because Jesus says, come unto me, not to the pastor. Now, let me restate that. No, I'm here for you now. I'm here to counsel you. I'm here to give you, to comfort you. I'm here to encourage you. And I'm here to do all of that type of stuff. That's what I'm here, not only me, but the elders of the church and the leaders of the church also. That's what we're here to do. We're here to minister to you. That's what we're here to do. But the bottom line is, you know, we're not Jesus. Do not make us necessary. Let me say that again. Do not make us necessary. Because the only one who's necessary, his name is Jesus. The only one who's necessary is Jesus Christ. What's that right there? Period. Not Jesus Christ plus pastor. Not Jesus Christ, Christ plus the elders. Jesus Christ, period. You make him necessary, not us. We're here to minister to you. We're here to help you. We're here to give you counsel. We're here to encourage you. We're here to do all of that type of things. But the one who you go to that's necessary is Jesus Christ and him. Do not lift us up. Psalms 118:8, it's better to trust in the Lord, put confidence in man. And that's any man, including me and the leadership of this church, anybody else. You put your trust completely in Jesus Christ and him only. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And what did he say? I will give you rest. Not the pastor, not the elders, not the church, but I will give you rest. Period. The only real rest that we can have. Now, when we go to sleep, we get rest, right? We get rest when we do that. You know, when you relax and go on vacation, you know, we get rest. We got one couple here is getting ready to leave out tomorrow. They're going down to Punta Cana to lay on the beach for 10 days. I ain't going to say who that is. Won't take nobody else with them to Punta Cana, lay on the beach. Ain't that right, Brother Jim? I ain't going to say who it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, they're going to rest for 10 days. They're going to rest for 10 days. But this rest that we're talking about is a rest of your soul. I'm talking about a soul rest. I'm talking about a rest that comes entirely with your everything within you, that you rest in Him. You know, the Bible says that if we put our trust in God, He'll give us a sweet sleep. I love that sweet sleep that's undisturbed. You know, to know that the one who created and formed the world, the one who created all the animals, who created all of the human beings, that He's watching over us. When you know that, that's when you can just fall asleep and start snoring and whatever else you do. Whatever else you do, you don't have to worry about nothing, because we know that God is covering us. But He says, I will give you rest. Then He says, take my yoke. Now listen to how this is going. He says, come first. So we have to do our part. He didn't say to sit there and I'll poof you. He said, you need to get up and come. Come is a motion that we have to do. It's something that we have to do. Amen. Elder Scott, come here. That's good right there. You see what he had to do? He had to get up next to his mother. I'm so glad you're back here, church. I don't know what to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, he had to get up. He left his mother sitting there. He got up, put his mask on, and then took steps to come down. It was motion he had to do. He heard me, and not only did he hear me, he did what? He responded and obeyed. Amen. You can go sit down now. So I just want to give you a little picture of what come means. You just don't sit there and don't do nothing. He could have shook his head and said, yes, yes, I will. And just sit there. But Jesus says, come. We have to do our part. God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. See, so many times we want to just sit back and let God do everything. Now, he's able to do everything. There's nothing impossible with God for those who believe. But he is calling us to come. Then he says in verse 29, take. After you come, you have to take. Amen? Elder Scott? No, I got to come. You see that? See, that's what a lot of people want. They want you to throw it. Come. No, you can sit down. I'm just telling them. No. Once I tell him to come, and once he comes, listen, once he comes to a place where he can reach out and take it. See, he talking about throw it. I ain't going to throw it. God ain't going to throw it. We have to put some feet on that, and we got to come to where he is in order to receive. That's why a lot of people are not receiving what God has for it, is because we keep sitting back and sitting back and sitting back. You see, you remember John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy? You remember the quote that he said? It's not what we can do for our country. Ask not what you can do, but ask what our country. Ask not what our country can do for us, but ask what we can do for our country. Amen. Ask not what God can do for us, but what can I do for you, God? I can come. I can partake of whatever that you want me to have. I can abide in you, and you will abide in me. I can be in a right standing, in righteousness with you, in right standing with you. And when I'm in right standing with you, let me tell you something. Ask whatsoever in my name, he says, and it will be done to you. Calm down, Scotty. Ask whatsoever in my name, and it will be done for you. But once again, we have to do our part and God will do his. Amen. But why aren't we receiving the things that God has for us? I'm glad you asked. Because he says, come and then take. Listen to what he says. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we all say we heavy laden and we got problems and issues, and we got weight upon it. We all have, or we all will. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Listen to what he says, take my yoke. We know what a yoke is, right? Just in case one might not know. A yoke is something they used to have back in the day, and I think they still have them, the farmers and different things. A yoke is something that's a wooden instrument that they made, that they put one around one animal, and then there's another animal that they put around him. So you got two animals, but you got this wooden thing that's around both of their necks and shoulders. So when they walk, they have to walk together. When they walk, they have to walk together. You can't have one that stands still and says, no, I'm not walking. No, I'm not walking. And the other one tries to walk. You see, because that yoke has both of them together. He says, take my yoke. He says, I'm going to go with you. Whatever weight that you have, whatever worries that you have, whatever problems that you have, he says, take my yoke. He says, take my yoke because I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to walk with you in the trials of your life. I'm going to walk with you in the valleys of your life. I'm going to walk with you in the sorrows of your life. I'm going to walk with you in every place that you go. I'm going to walk with you. But you have to do your part. You got to take my yoke. You see, you got to take it, my yoke. And this he said, and learn from me. And learn from me. I do this all the time. And y'all probably sick of me doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. 1 + 1, 2 + 2, 4 + 4, we're going to stop. We're going to stop on that. You said that, and you didn't have to go through your fingers. 1 and 1, 2 and 2. You didn't have to do that, did you? Why not? It came automatically. Why didn't you have to do that? Why didn't you have to get a piece of paper? Because you learned it. You learned it as a child. You learned it as a child and you never forgot it. It's automatic. He says, take my yoke. And he says, and learn from me. Learn what, Lord? Learn his word. Learn his nature. Learn his attributes. Learn how he loved people. Learn how he had compassion for people. Learn how he was didn't succumb to the temptations that he was in. Learn how to do what the Father tells him to do. He said, the only thing I do is what the Father tells me to do. We have to learn that, church. We have to learn that. And that comes, and once again, when you're a one-year-old, you don't know what 1 + 1 is. When you get 2 years old, you know, if you got some smart people to teach you, you might know it. But some didn't learn it today. Was like, how old were you, Don? 12? 7? Praise the Lord. Some people are slow learners. But the fact is he learned it. But once again, you don't expect a 6 month or a 1 year old or a 2 year old to know what that is. But once you get into kindergarten and first grade and all of that, when you ask them, because how do they learn it? Because they were taught. They were taught. And it's the same thing in the Word of God. You know, we are taught by God's Word. We are taught through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Of what is right and what is not right. Amen. So he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. And he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Do you know meek is not weak? If you put a W on that, that's weak. But no, this is an M. He was the most strongest, fearless man that ever lived. He was a man's man. Do you know that? Jesus was a man's man. But he was meek. And meekness is that I have the power and the authority to do whatever I want to do, but I'm not. I'm refraining from doing that. That's what meekness is that we have the power, we have the ability, we have the authority to do things, but we don't. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. You shall find rest unto your souls. We were talking about that soul rest a minute ago. We won't have to take medication because of our anxiety, depression. We won't have to do alcohol and drugs because we are going through all type of different things in our lives. I was one looking for love all in the wrong places. I was looking to be encouraged. I was looking to do all kind of things to satisfy that longing within me. For many, many years, you know, and I'm doing all the time. I'm looking for that love. I'm looking for that affirmation. I'm looking to be satisfied in all the wrong places. Drugs, crime, immoral living, and on and on and on and on. I didn't have a soul rest. I was searching for these things. But once Jesus got a hold of me, once Jesus got a hold of you, that's when we stop looking. That's when we know that we know that they know that we have found the one, the only one that will satisfy us. And we don't have to look no more in the world. We don't have to gratify the flesh or the itch anymore. When you taste it of that new wine, and I'm talking about the new wine of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. It satisfies your soul. It gives you a soul rest. But once again, it takes time to learn that. It takes time to get that within us. You know, we all have different stages of growth in Christ. When you're a new Christian, you're just so excited. You're so on fire for the Lord. I remember when Rob Snyder first got saved. When he first came down here, Lord, he was, I mean, Lord have mercy. He was on fire, still is on fire for the Lord, still is. But I remember when he first got saved, Lord, and how God was blessing him with clothes and a bike and all the time, and now he got a job, he got a car, you know what I mean? He got his mother and father here in church and his nephew. You know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, you know, it just blesses me to see the growth, not only in Rob Snyder, but so many others. You know, the growth that God is, Bill Spears, Lord have mercy. Remember when I first met you? Yeah, but anyway, I wasn't going to say that. But since you opened the door, I went down. Bill was in school, and they had him in timeout. And I walked in. I said, do you know who I am? He said, you're my lawyer. I said, nope, not your lawyer. And that was quite a few years ago. But then I see Bill, how God is just, man, you know, how he has restored you and blessed you. And I can go on and on. I can just go on and on and on. And little Miss Sierra sitting back there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I remember little Miss Sierra. She used to come. She's about that high. She's come to church grinning the can on, skinning and grinning the can on. And now she's here with her little son, little Jeffrey. You know she named him after me. Do you know that? That's little Jeffrey. Little Jeffrey, come here. Come on. Come on, the pastor. Come here. Come here. Come on up here. Give me your hand. Come on up here so everybody can see you. That's little Jeffrey. Now, let me say something about you, little Jeffrey. Don't he look like me? Now, little Jeffrey is just like me when I was a kid. eating candy in church. Okay, little Jeffrey, who loves you? Jesus and pastor, right? Okay, go back with your mama. Go wash your hands. Your hands are sticky. Lord have mercy. Praise the Lord. That's little Jeffrey. Amen. Little man of God. Little man of God. He's going to be a preacher. He's going to be a preacher one day. Absolutely. But anyway, it says, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, there's many people in church today that they don't have that easy yoke because they're under the yoke of religion. They're under the yoke of different denominations that you have to do certain things. You know, there's certain denominations where you have to do works in order to call themselves that you can be in right standing with God. You have to do works in order to obtain heaven. We're not religious here. We have a relationship with Jesus. Salvation is free, church, just in case somebody had never told you that. It's a gift from God. Do you pay for a gift? No, you don't. You don't pay for a gift. Salvation is a gift from God. He says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if you turn to the book of John, John, the 7th chapter, and verse 37 and 38. When you get to say amen. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, Jesus stood and cried. Anytime you hear Jesus standing and he's speaking loudly, it's something that's very, very important. It said, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man or mankind is what it means. That means man or woman. If any man or woman thirsts, we all thirst, don't we? We all get thirsty, especially if you're working or you're eating something salty, or if you're talking a lot, your mouth get dry. Amen. He says, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Listen to what he says. If any man thirsts, let him do what? Sit there on his recliner. Open his mouth. You know when the little birdies, when you get little bitty baby birds and they're in the nest, and when they see their mama or their daddy come at the nest, what do? Anybody ever seen that? Because they know that their mama or their daddy is going to put something in their mouth. And that's where a lot of people are. They sitting in church. But listen, but what did he say? Here we go again. That how many letters is that? Four letters. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Here we go again. Elder Scott? No. You know, if Elder Scott is thirsty and I have this, which is water, if he's thirsty enough, hear what I'm saying. If he's thirsty enough, he will come. Not only will he come and accept it, he will partake of it. Amen? Why? Why? It's because there's something in him that's saying, I need what you have. Oh, church, don't miss this. There's something within him that's saying, I need what you have. Not what the pastor has, not what the church has, not what the elders have, but only Jesus Christ, period. And only he can give us something that will quench our thirst. Amen. Now listen to what it says. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Got to come first. You got to receive it, and then you got to drink. He that believeth on me. Oh, here we go. He that believeth on me. As the scriptures have said, not as the pastor has said, not as the denomination have said, not if your mama and daddy have said, but as the scriptures have said. The scriptures is the word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and who? The word was God. Amen. In the beginning was the word. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, woo. Listen to what he said. If you have a desire, if you have a want to, if it's something inside of you that you need, that you have to have. You know, the Bible, I mean, not the Bible, but science says that if you don't drink water for how many days? 7 days, you die. Now, food, you can do longer with food, but water, that's a necessity. That's a necessity. So let's say that you are on your 6 and a half day without water, and you out in the Sahara Desert. You're thirsty. Amen? You're thirsty. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have that same type of thirst for me in my word that you have in the natural. I want you to have it more. Do we have that, church, in us? Do we have that thirst? Do we have that hunger, you know, for the things of God? Or do we still have things in the world that we still like to deal with? Then and only then, when we develop, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What does the word say after that? For they shall be filled. Not maybe, not might, not halfway. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. Being in right standing with God. Not perfection. We're not, none of us going to be perfect. But being real with him. Being real with him. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just on Wednesday at Bible study. Not just on Tuesdays at prayer meeting. But every day, all day long. Every day, all day long. To seek the righteousness of God. And when we do step out of line. When we do, and we will. We will step out of line. When we do, cross those things that we shouldn't be doing. And we will do that, church, because you're still here on earth. When you do that, this is what he tells you to do in 1 John 1:9. If you confess, there you go again, your part. If you confess your sins, he says he's justified to forgive you of your sin. If you do that, he said he's justified to forgive you of your sins, and then this, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you see the correlation of walking with God? He said, you take the step to come. You take the step to receive it. You take the step to drink it. You take the step to confess it. You take the step to repent of it. He said, when you do that, you can bet the farm I'm going to do mine. You can bet the farm, if you do what I ask you to do, let me tell you something. These exceedingly great and precious promises, you will have them. You will have them. But once again, it's a desire that we have to have that. It's a maturity in walking in Christ that we have to do that. We don't expect little Jeffrey, you know, to be able to drive a car. We don't expect little Jeffrey, you know, to be able to go out here and make his own food. He might be able to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something. You know, he might be able to do that. You know, but he can't cook no meal for nobody else because he's immature. He don't know. He has a lack of knowledge. But as he grows and as his mama and his nana teaches him how to make a sandwich, How to, you know, to get older, you know what I mean? Potty trained. He's potty trained, ain't he? Praise the Lord. Yeah, but you know, they had to teach him that. He didn't just happen one day run to the potty and, you know, he had accidents. And when he started, he didn't even know he's having accidents. Well, it wasn't no accident when he was a baby. That's what he did. But as he got older and grew, you know what I mean? His mama and his nana, little Jeffrey, here's your little potty chair, you know. And one day, he went and grabbed her hand and said, look, look, look. Good job. Praise the Lord. And then he started wearing them big boy pants. Amen. And that's the same way with us. You know, that's the same way with us. And every now and then, we might have a little accident. But it shouldn't be every day, all day. Amen? Shouldn't be every day, all day. All right, I'm almost done with you. Maybe. Oh, God. But anyway, let's turn to, this is the word that God has given me here for you. This here, what I've just been doing, to get you ready for it. John 4. John 4 and 1. When therefore the Lord heard how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Listen to what he said. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the wall, and it was about the sixth hour, or about 12 noon. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. He's asking her for something now. Once again, give me to drink. Now, this is Jesus, but in his humanity, in his travels, he was weary. He was tired. He was thirsty. Give me to drink. And his disciples had gone to the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of the Samaritan to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Why are you even talking to me? You know that y'all have no dealings with me. Matter of fact, I don't even know what you're even doing here. You despise us and we despise you, you see. Because back about 700 years ago, the Assyrians had come and conquered Israel. But they left some behind, and so they started intermarrying and mingling with the Jewish people, and they came up with this Samaritan race. And even though the Samaritan race, they had part of them, you know, they knew about Jehovah, they knew about God. But they also had these pagan gods that the other ones had brought to them. The Syrians had brought to them. So they were worshiping what they call God, and then they were worshiping the idols too. They had a mixture. They had a mixture. They thought that they were doing the right thing by worshiping Jehovah, but they was worshiping these pagan gods too, church. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Either you love God and hate the world, or you love the world and hate God. So many people think that I can straddle the fence, that you can straddle the fence and love the world and live in the world, and then come into the church and live in the church and live in the right standing of God. Let me tell you something. You can't do that. You can't do it. You can do it. Yes, you can do it, but there will be a price. There will be a price. But once again, it says, and he says, and she says, Who are you coming to talk to me? And Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Let's stop right there. If you knew the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Here we go again. Now, this time it says, God loved the world that he gave. And whosoever believeth in him, our part, shall have eternal life. Ain't that what he said? Believeth in him. Believeth in who? Believeth in Jesus, the gift of God. The gift of God. He says, if you knew who it was that spoke to you, was the gift of God to thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Remember we talked about the living water in chapter 7? Let's go back there just one minute. Just refresh your memory. Chapter 7. What verse was that? 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So he was telling her, if you knew who was asking you, you would have asked me for this living water. And listen to what she said. She didn't get it. See, she didn't get it. And so the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep from whence then has thy that living water? How can you get? Because the well is deep. You don't have nothing to draw from. Now, you know what? I've been preaching and teaching it for you. You know something that hit me last night? She came to the well to do what? To draw water. So she had something to get the water out of the well, didn't she? She had something to get the water out of the well. But when Jesus asked her, she told him, she said, why you ask me? You don't have nothing to get water out of the well. She had something to get it out, but she was unwilling to use what she had to serve him. Why? I'm glad you asked me. We're going to see why here in a minute. And so anyway, art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank therefore himself as the children and his cattle? Now see, this is a coalition between the Israelites, you know, part of her Hebrew Jewish roots. Our father Abraham, our father Jacob, which is a Israelite patriarch. Once again, that mixture. And Jesus said unto her, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whoever drinketh of this water, this is purified water, pure aqua water. Whoever drinketh of this aqua water, purified water, will thirst again. I've been taking a few sips out of this. I drank water this morning. Where's the one with the wheels on it? Huh? Well, where's the one with the wheels on it? Yeah, we need to get the one with the wheels on it. We need to get him a scooter. What we need to do. Praise the Lord. Get that one with the wheels on it back there, John. So he can scoot along a little better. Praise the Lord. Take your time, Vernon. But it says, once again, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him, not the pure water, not the distilled water, not the purified water that you get from the store, but the water that I will give you, not the store-bought, not the worldly water, but the water that I will give you shall never thirst again. Now, wait a minute. That don't make too much sense, does it? Now, this water, we know we've been drinking this all of our lives. And when we're thirsty, this is what quenches our thirst, right? When I'm thirsty, I drink this, and this is here what satisfied me, right? But I got to keep going back to get more water. When I get thirsty again, I got to go back to get more water. So I'm only satisfied for a short amount of time. Just a short amount of time. Am I satisfied? He says, but the whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Remember we talked about the water in the belly here in chapter 7? What he's talking about, see, is not natural water. He's talking about the spiritual water. You see, when we drink the natural, we got to keep going back to the well. Keep going back to the well. Keep going back to the well. The well of the world. When I was a drug addict, when I got high, I was good. I was good. Once I got high, I'm good. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. You know, I'm resting, nodding. We used to call it nodding back in the day, you know. But once that wore off, guess what? I had to go back again. And when that wore off, I had to go back again. Every day, I had to go back again. I had to keep going back to the well of the world. I had to keep going back to the drug man, to the drug dealer, on and on and on and on and on. But I tell you, when Jesus Christ, on that November the 4th, 1994, when he knocked on the door of my heart, let me tell you something. And I start partaking of the will of the Holy Spirit within me. You see, that thirst for the worldly desires didn't happen overnight. What stopped overnight, but slowly but surely it dried up. Slowly but surely, that desire for the things of the world that satisfied me for a little bit, it started leaving me. And see, let me show how good God is. As these things start leaving and drying up, that rivers of living water started flowing in me. It started flowing in me. And now, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I have issues. I have struggles. Amen. But now, you know, that well of living water is inside of me. And when the world starts whispering in my ear, oh, don't you know how you used to feel? That rivers of living water, that spring of water starts flowing up inside of me. And I do this. I don't hear you no more, because guess what? That living water that's flowing in me, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. When I go to the Chinese buffet, I say every time before I get in there, I'm not going to be a pig. I'm not going to sin, because you know gluttony is a sin. You know that, don't you? I say, I'm not going to sin this time. And I'm sitting out in the parking lot. That's what I'm talking about. I'm signing to go see it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to have one plate. And that's it. I get in there. I pay my money. I get my plate. I look at all the kung fu, the chicken chow mein, the sweet and sour chicken, the hot chicken, and all the garlic chicken. Oh, Lord have mercy. And the next thing you know, I'm walking to my table with a plate of food this high. You know what I say? See, all that, I'm not going to be a glutton, and went out the window when once my eye, the lust of the eye, hit all that chicken. And after I get there and I eat it all up, my stomach is poking all out, then my waistband done went about 4 or 5 inches, then popped the buttons on my pants. I'm waddling out of there. When I get into my car, I say, "Here, you did it again. You said you wasn't going to do it, but you did it again." You know, and then after that, I'm full. I don't want nothing else. When I ride by the Kentucky Colonel, I don't even look over it no more. It don't entice me anymore because I'm full. But a few hours later, you know, I'm ready to eat again. But this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about, that rivers of living water that's flowing through in me. It said it's satisfied me with eternal life. Do you know eternal life? Well, you know what that is? Life eternally. We have no idea what eternal life looks like. We have no idea how long that is. It's forever, ever, 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 and ever, and ever again. So I don't have to worry about going back to the Chinese place. I don't have to worry about going to KFC. I don't have to worry about going back to the dope man. I don't have to worry about going to the clubs and all that kind of stuff. I don't have to worry about that stuff no more because I'm satisfied. Amen? I'm satisfied. Jesus Christ's Spirit satisfies me, and Jesus Christ's Spirit will satisfy you. But let me go on just a little bit longer. I'm almost done with you. And Jesus says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be to him a well of a water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to her, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Now, it'd have been good if she had shut up right there, but she didn't. "Give me this water that you're talking about, Lord. Give me this water that I would never thirst again and have everlasting life." But she didn't get it. She didn't get it. Then she said, "Neither come thither to draw." And Jesus said unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." See, back then, see, especially if you was a rabbi or whatever, or a male anyway, you know, you would not, should not be having any conversations with a female back there without her husband being present. I'm going to say that again. Don't apply too much for this day. But back then, you know, custom was that If you had a conversation with a woman and she was married, she had to have her husband there with her. And so anyway, the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "Thou hast said well, you have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now has is not thy husband, and thou sayest thou truly." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." See, he read her mail. He told her her life, what she was doing. He didn't know that. Nobody had told him that she had had 5 husbands and the one that she's living with is not her husband now. What he did was he let her know that who you're talking to. Remember, he said, if you had known who you were talking to, the gift of God. So now he is demonstrating to her not only what he said is true, he demonstrated to her that I am who I am. Amen? He's demonstrating to her that what I told you, you know, because, you know, so many times we say one thing that we're something, but we're really not. Especially the young men when they whisper in the young lady's ears, "Oh, I'm Don Juan. I'm Suave Voli. You know, I'm this and I'm that. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." And they're lying out of both mouths. Both sides of their mouth. But Jesus, when he tells you something, it's real. So he told her about her life. And she said, "You must be a prophet. Our fathers," and listen, she changed the whole thing. She didn't want to hear about, you know, the man that she lived with. She didn't want to hear about all of this type of stuff. Now, we don't know why she had five brothers. It might have been they all died. Don't know. Don't say it. And I'm not going to put nothing in there where it don't say nothing. Don't know why she had it. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and they say that Jerusalem is a place to worship that the men ought to worship. She changed the whole script, changed the whole thing about it. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and now is neither in this mountain in Jerusalem shall worship the Father. You worship not know what you know. We know that we worship the salvation of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is." The hour cometh and now is. It's 10 after 12. On the 11th day of the year of our Lord, 2021. Listen to what he says. He said, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must." Not maybe, not might. "They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The hour is and now that he's seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to break it down to you so everybody can understand it. Is be real. Is be honest and be real in our worshiping. To be real with him. Not being phonies. Not being one thing on Sundays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And something else on Sunday evenings and Mondays and the rest of the week. Is being real, true worshiping God. Is worshiping him. You know, what we sang worship songs today. You know, I saw people raising their hands and worship him. Absolutely. That's a form of worship. But the true worship in spirit and in truth is we're worshiping him with the Holy Spirit within us. That living water that's bubbling up within us in spirit and in truth. What is truth? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." It's about being real, church. It's about having that want to, that desire to drink that living water. Not the water of the world, because we got a lot of watering holes out here. We got one across the street from the church here. They just remodeled it, put some new stuff on there. Every time I ride by it, I stick my hand out there. Lord, I curse that the root of that organization over there. I speak it closed in the name of Jesus. I did that behind the church. Mix is closed. They closed. Amen. I speak when I'm going down Factory Street, they got them bars down there. In the name of Jesus, I curse the root of you, and I pray that you die in the name of Jesus. That one little place down there on the other side of the street, it used to be Dr. Strange or something. You know what I mean? A tattoo parlor. You know he's a Wiccan. He was a priest, a Wiccan priest. There's no sign of that being there anymore. They tore the building down. It's a parking lot now. We need to pray against all of these things. All of these things that's out there. Amen? Because there's watering holes all around. People are going to the wells of the world to seek satisfaction, to quench their thirst and their desires, looking to gratify the flesh. Let that not be one of us. Let that not be one of us, church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? The desires to serve him. What things? Everything that we need to live a life of godliness and righteousness. But we have to seek him first, not second, not third, not when it's convenient, not when we want something. But seek him first, because we have a desire to be obedient to him, to love him. I could have let y'all go an hour ago just if I said that. I hope you're hearing what the Lord is saying here today, because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. And when we stand before him, he's going to say, you heard what that tall man said. You heard the scripture. You know, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. I've asked you to come unto me. I've asked you to take of my yoke. I've asked you to drink of this living water. I've asked you to do this over and over and over and over and over again. And you continue to sit. You continue to have a hardness of your heart. You continue to deal with the things of the world. You continue to do this. And now that it's time for you to stand before me, there are consequences. There are consequences. Hear me, church. None of us is going to escape the consequence if we have not surrendered. None of us. I don't care how good you might be, how cute you might be, how strong or how much money you might have, or how much good work that you've done. If we do not surrender our life to Jesus, there will be a consequence. And let me tell you what the consequence is. And it's not pretty. It's the lake of fire. It's hell. It's burning in hell for eternity. And there ain't going to be no party. I used to think it was a party. I'm saying I'm going to hell. I'm going with my buddies. And we're going to have a good time and party for eternity. Let me tell you something. That ain't the hell that Jesus Christ or God made. He made hell for Satan. You know, that's what he made hell for, Satan and his demons. That's what hell was made for, to be tormented every day, all day long. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't want none of you to go there. I don't want none of you to go there. That's why I'm so adamant about telling you the truth. And I know some of y'all are mad at me up now. I've had people leave the church about behind that. I've had people leave the church. I don't want to hear that, Pastor. You're judging me. I'm not judging you. I'm giving you the word of the Lord. I'm giving you something that will save your soul from hell. I'm giving you something that can not only help, that will give you a life and a life more abundantly here, church. When you taste it of his goodness, when you know how much he loves you, when you know the price that he paid, that you don't have to go to hell, Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for us. When we get that down in us, how can we not present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service? Not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Every day, every day, every day, the renewing of our mind. A God consciousness. Seeking him first. Focus on him. Shutting the things of the world out. But once again, you know, we're out here in the world, but we're not of the world. And when we do mess up, we have a Savior that will forgive us. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you have a doubt, well, Pastor, you said quite a bit this morning. If you have a doubt, or let me say this here, you know where you are in Christ or not. Let's say it's 12:15 now. Let's say at 1 o'clock, 45 minutes. 45 minutes, 1 o'clock. Let's say Jesus says, it's your time to stand before me. You got 45 minutes. It's your time to stand before me and give an account. Because everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Everybody want to go to heaven, right? In 45 minutes, he's going to say, I'm going to call you down front, and I'm going to ask you, why should I allow you into heaven? I'm going to ask you, are you ready to receive what I have for you? Are you ready to receive? What I have for you. Are you ready? That's what you need to ask yourself. And if you got a check in your spirit right now, I hope so. Maybe, might, that ain't good enough. That's not good enough, church. That's not good enough. You can have for sure that when I stand before Jesus in 45 minutes, 43 minutes. Then when he asked me, what makes you think that I'm going to allow you into heaven? You could put your head up and your shoulders back and said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You can put your head up and your shoulders back and you say, because I have surrendered my life to Jesus. Hadn't been perfect, Lord, you know. But I'm real today. Today I'm surrendering my life to you fully. You know, I've done 75%, I've done 80%, I've done 99.99999%. He says he wants all of you. First commandment is what? To love the Lord thy God with what? 99.999%? With all, 100%. 100%. And once again, that don't mean that you got to be perfect, because none of us are perfect. But that means you're going to be real, that you're real. He says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died and rose again on the third day, he said, you shall be saved. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he says, let me say, I don't care what you've done. I would never turn nobody away. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what sins you've committed. There's no sins that our Lord would not forgive. None. The only one that he won't is when you continue to say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's the only one. Because let me tell you, it's not if, but when we stand before him. And who knows? Who knows when the time is going to come? Nobody knows, but I'm going to tell you, you better be ready. You better be ready and not deceived and thinking that you're good to go. Because when you stand before him, he's going to say one or two things. Either well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, or depart from me. I don't care how much church you've been going to. I don't care how much Bible you've been reading. I don't care how much money you've done putting in the church. I don't care how much good works you done done. I never knew you as my child. You never had a relationship with me. You knew about me, but you never had a relationship with me. And that's what it's about, church. So if that's you this morning, you can get it right before you walk out of this door. Before you walk out of this door here this morning, you can know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And for some, you might want to rededicate your life. You might want to rededicate it. You know, you might have gone astray a little bit. I don't know, like the prodigal son. But it said when he came to himself, he went back to his father's house. And his father accepted him. I don't care what you've done in your life, how far you have gone in the faraway land, he will always accept you. But once again, that one thing again, he says, you got to make the first move. You got to make the first move. He's standing there waiting with his arms wide open, ready to accept you. So if that's you this morning, and you know that you know that you know that you have not. Praise the Lord, young lady. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? I'm going to ask you, if you come up here, let's keep six feet. Let's be wise now. Careful. You know, this is the first time in a year that people have responded. I wasn't going to have you respond, but this young lady here, you came up here. Come over here, Eva. Yeah. Anybody else? So what you're saying is, I'm good. That's what you're saying, I'm good. Or you're saying, I think I'm good. See, thinking you're good ain't good enough. You got to know that you're good. You got to know that you know that you know. There's no shadow of doubt that today I'm getting real. That today I'm rededicating. That today I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Don't get no better than that. Don't get no better than that. And don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Because you know what? If you're sitting in that seat and you know that you know that you know that you should be in up here, and why are you not up here? What is keeping you in your seat? It's not the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Because the enemy, he wants to take all y'all to hell with him. But he's a liar and there's no truth in him. He's a liar and there's no truth in him. So today, just stay right there. Stay right there. You getting up is good enough. He honored you getting up. So just stay right there where you are. Matter of fact, you need to sit down because he sees your heart. And if anybody else is here this morning, and for whatever reason you can't get up, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Amen. Now I want you to pray this prayer with me because I know some of you are rededicating. Some of you might be the first time, but I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I'm confessing in my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm believing in my heart that he died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins, and he rose again on the third day. I'm confessing to you, Lord, that I am a sinner, that my life has not been right according to you. But this day, Lord, I'm surrendering my life. I'm rededicating my life to serve you. From this day forward, I lay down my life and I take up the life of Christ. I accept this free gift by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Thank you. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for coming up here. As I say, you know, this is the first time that I did an altar call that people came down. And I wasn't going to call nobody down to this young lady. You know, evidently it was something about this young lady that she said, I need to come down. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I want to thank all y'all for coming. What a beautiful day this is. Amen. And the Bible says that when one comes to Christ, that they have a celebration of heaven. You know, they're celebrating in heaven today. They're having a little celebration up there. Amen. And we're celebrating down here also. You know, so I want to thank you for coming. Ma'am, thank you. Thank you. You know, we want to let you know that if you come back again, you're not a visitor. Okay? If you come three Sundays in a row, you get a cookie. So two more Sundays, you get a cookie. She's looking at me like, I ain't coming back up in here. No, I'm just kidding. You know, let me say this. I'm going to let y'all go. You know, when the first time I saw Dakota, she was up there with the house. The house has brought her. And I was looking up at her doing the whole service. I said, she ain't never coming back. I said, she can't wait to get out of here. You know, because, you know, we're a little different up in here. We got some issues, you know. And so anyway, I looked up the next Sunday, she come and she brought a mama and a daddy. And I'm looking up at them, and they probably thinking, you know, let me go see what they done to my daughter. I look back, and so I said, well, they ain't never coming back. And the next Sunday, and then this Sunday, he was the one who was singing. He come to me, he says, Pastor, amen. He says, Pastor, he says, God has given me a gift and I want to use it to bring glory to God. Can I sing a special? I said, absolutely. Then I said, can you sing? His wife said, oh, yes. Oh, yes, he can sing. I'm thinking that's his wife saying that. But anyway, he was here Tuesday night to set up his thing. And when he opened his mouth, oh, my goodness. Y'all heard him. Amen. And y'all going to be hearing more from him. He just don't know it yet. Okay. You know, and both his daughters and his wife had signed up for Sunday school. Matter of fact, he got his one daughter, Cheyenne. She's in the nursery now. You know, but look, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, they ain't never coming back. So we hope to see you again. Praise the Lord. We ain't nothing big and fancy, but we love the Lord Jesus. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to bring you the word of God. Amen. So I want to thank everybody for coming. God bless you. And thank you for all the wonderful blessings and the prayers and things that you have given me. For who? Rosie, yeah. Rosie was supposed to sing today. She didn't come. We were supposed to do it. Yeah, yeah. We'll wait till next week and we're going to sing. Me, you, and Rosie, Scotty. All right, me, you, and Rosie. We're going to sing next week. Amen. Praise the Lord. We were supposed to do it today, but she's not here today. But we'll do it next week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, yes, we'll do that. All right. Little Jeffrey, come on up here. We're going to pray. Come on. Come on up here, little Jeffrey. Come on. Come on. Come on. Pray with Pastor. Come on. Come on. Come on, Scotty. We're going to pray too. You're going to pray with me. Me and little Jeffrey. All right. Turn around. Heavenly Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Father God, for those who responded, oh, Father God, to the call. We ask, oh, Father God, that you bless Rosie. We ask, oh, Lord, that she'll be here next week. We ask that people will, as they go home today, Lord, travel in mercy. I pray for a sweet sleep tonight. I pray, Lord, that as we're today, that we will meditate on what we heard here today. That rivers of living water that flowing through us, that we will not go to the wells of the world. But Lord, we will have that living water flowing through us, that we will come and we will take and partake of that streams of living water that flow through us. So Lord, I just want to say thank you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen.